Hey guys, welcome back. And this week is part two of the biggest gold heist in history. So we're going to be finishing that out. So if you haven't seen last week's episode, finish this one. Then go check that out because that's part one. So just go ahead and just get into going things. So the term of the week, we have condition census. It's still Monday. I'm still tongue-tied. Anyway, condition census. This is a roster of the five or six finest known specimens of a particular coin. So there's somehow, MS-70 whatever coin from whatever time period. And there's like four or five of them. That's the best known ones. So off of that, we get into the trivia question. And what was the largest gold heist at the end of the previous episode? So make sure you listen to it. You'll know the answer to this, and you'll find out. At the end of this episode, anyway. This is a continuation. This is two separate articles, but this is a continuation of it. Still written by Alan Kerr. This was published November 18th on the Coin Week website. And like I said, this is the second 10 to the 20th of the 20 largest gold heists, and talking about the loot and the robbers now. And so, starting off, we have number 11. This is the Summer Bliss robbery in 2012. This was 216 kilograms in gold bars. So this is November 30th, 2012. Masked men in police jackets boarded the Summer Bliss fishing boat in Curaco and stole 70 gold bars weighing a total of 216 kilograms, 476 pounds. It's Monday still, but tongue-tied as nobody knows. Its estimated worth was $11.5 million. The gold shipment was being shipped through Curaco, and officials on the island had been advised that it was coming beforehand as part of normal security procedures. Six men entered the boat, striking the captain over the head. Whop, he out. The gold was looted in a matter of minutes, the bandits making off with 486 pounds of gold bullion in three separate cars. Over the following months, seven people were arrested in suspicion of the robbery, but due to conflicting reports, witness discrepancies, a history of local government corruption, and dubious police cooperation, the suspects were never charged. To this date, the Curaco gold heist remains unsolved. Nobody knows. Following that, number 12, the Kerry Packer safe cracking in 1995. It was 285 kilograms gold bullion. It's the last week in April 1995. Mastermind criminal known only as Mr. X pulled off the most audacious gold bar heist at the home of Sydney-based media mogul, Kerry Packer. The thief got away with 285 kilograms, 628 pounds of gold bullion worth $5.4 million. The cops were telling, quote-unquote, Mr. X, and said he was so good at what he did that though police knew it had to be him, he never gave them an inch. Despite hundreds of hours of police surveillance, the police couldn't even make an arrest, let alone charge the intelligent safecracker. Police suspect that Mr. X walked into Kerry Packer's Australian Consolidated Press building and jimmied open two doors with either crowbar or screwdriver. From there, he entered Packer's office, went straight to the safe. It was hidden in a drinks cabinet. Experts believe he cracked the Chubb brand safe in a matter of minutes and left very little evidence behind other than a small burn on the carpet from a charred piece of metal. He then wheeled 285 kilograms of gold out of the building, packed them onto the back of his utility vehicle, and simply drove away. So he leads the police on a wild goose chase for months. Leads them to dead end after dead end. Police finally came up and closed the case. For 15 years after this, Mr. X continued to live a normal lifestyle, didn't slip up once, no spending sprees, no incriminating evidence, and he even drove his same beat-up Ford Falcon. So Sergeant John Jugblut of Sydney Police said he was one of the best crooks I ever had to work on. So he apparently got some respect from the police, or definitely aggravated him, that's for sure. So now we have number 13, the Sabine Gold Mine Theft, 2014, 508 kilograms gold concrete. So it's June 11th, 2014, 20 miners, employees of the Sabine Gold Mine in South Africa, were arrested after a six-month police operation that saw them steal over 1,120 pounds of gold, essentially. So the men were believed to have stolen over $20 million worth of gold concentration. Concentration, yeah. Yeah, it's a sand-like substance with high purity levels of gold. So I said concrete. I was incorrect. So after a year while working at the gold mine, a police source said that the suspects had used specially designed bags that were fitted inside their ovals to steal the gold concentrate. It would then be taken to secret locations where other members of the syndicate would take the gold for processing. Although all 20 miners faced court proceedings at the Oberhauser Magistrate's Court in Carltonville, very little can be found online about the verdict of the case. So we have no idea how it turned out. Next we have the Golden Door Jewelry Creations armed robbery in 1983. On February 10th, 1983, two masked gunmen stole gold bullion estimated to be worth up to $11 million from Golden Door Jewelry Creations, a large gold smuggling company and jewelry wholesaler based in North Miami, Florida. The two bandits wearing nylon stockings over their heads, burst into the jewelry wholesalers, tied up the owner and two other employees, got away with a whopping 739 kilograms, or just over 1,600 pounds of gold bars, spools, chains, and jewelry. The robbers never got caught. Gold never found. They just went poof, they're gone. So number 15 is the Guarulhos Airport armed robbery in 2019. 748 kilograms in gold bars. So this is a group of armed robbers stole a haul of gold bullion worth at least $30 million from an airport in Brazil. I'm not saying that name again. On Thursday, July 25th, 2019. Eight men targeted a cargo terminal driving two trucks that resembled those of the Brazilian Federal Police. Four men exited the trucks with covered faces, with at least one of the men carrying a rifle. Two airport workers were taken hostage during the ordeal, but they were both released unharmed. The armed robbers left the airport with just about 1,649 pounds of gold bullion and other precious metals due for shipment to Zurich and New York. Three suspects were arrested, all logistics workers from the airport itself. There is an ongoing investigation into the gold heist, and as of yet, no one has been charged. Number 16, the Brinks Mat robbery in 1983. My computer just went crazy. Okay, so 1983, 3 tons of gold bars. This is the largest gold bullion heist in British history. So it's 6:30 a.m., November 26, 1981. Okay, a gang of six armed robbers from South London broke into the Brinks Mat warehouse at the Heathrow Airport. The robbers, led by Mickey McAvoy, oh boy, he had a bad childhood with that name, and Brian Robinson, had expected to make off with about £3 million, or $3.9 million, in cash. Anthony Black, a Brinks Mat security guard who was living in Brian Robinson's sister at the time, was inside help and gave the South London gang quick access to the site, where they were overpowered other securities, but doused them in petrol and threatening to light them and set them on fire, basically. They threatened to burn them alive. That would stink. The inside information from Anthony Black also helped the robbers disarm a number of highly advanced security systems, but when the safe was opened, they soon realized they had a completely different problem/fortune thing on their hands. Instead of being faced with 3 million of easy transportable cash, they found 6,800 gold bars divided into 76 cases, as well as a stash of £100,000, or $131,000 worth of cut and uncut diamonds, all bound for the Middle East. Shifting this amount of gold bullion was a challenge the robbers were not expecting, so a number of the gang were sent to get better transportation. With a bigger getaway van now in place, the gang loaded all the gold bullion using the warehouse's forklift truck, but it still took them nearly 2 hours to clear the safe completely, so it was completely gone after 2 hours. They left the Brinks Mat warehouse at 8:15 a.m., not long after the 8:30 a.m. The alarm was raised by one of the security guards. Needless to say, converting the gold bullion into cash was another major hurdle. They were forced to approach a senior underworld crime boss known only as the Fox, who had the gangland connections to smelt down the gold and distribute it through the appropriate avenues. The robbers also had the assistance of a jeweler named Solly Nahom, who agreed to sell the smelted down gold. One of the robbers, Brian Robinson, was caught after security guard Anthony Black, now his brother-in-law, mentioned his name to officers that were investigating the case. Robinson was arrested in December 1983, and the police quickly discovered the family connection, and Black confessed to aiding and abetting the whole operation. Mickey McAvoy entrusted a portion of his share to George Francis and Brian Perry. Perry then recruited Kenneth Noy, who had the knowledge and know-how to safely dispose of the gold bullion But large amounts of money moved through a Bristol bank raised suspicions of the Bank of England, who in turn alerted the police. McAvoy and Robinson were soon jailed for 25 years each. Anthony Black was sentenced to 6 years. However, the majority of the 3,000 kilograms of gold bullion has never been recovered, and the other four members of the gang never convicted. By 1996, half the gold had been smelted, and it was thought to have made its way back into the legitimate gold market, according to the BBC. Anyone who has bought gold jewelry in 1983, you're probably still wearing Brinks Mat. If you still have it and you've worn it, you're wearing Brinks Mat. I guess it's a high-end gold. I don't know. Anyway, number 17, the British Bank of the Middle East heist in 1976. 12 tons of gold, or in gold bars. So January 20th, 1976, eight armed men stole 12 tons of gold, bullion bars, and ingots worth $50 million from the British Bank of the Middle East in Beirut. Another 160 million of silver and platinum, gemstones, bonds, Lebanese, and foreign currency, and stock certificates were also plundered in the raid. The group of men involved, who were associated with Yasser Arafat's Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, took advantage of the chaos and civil unrest in the country and broke into a bank easily without alerting authorities. The robbers used brute force to gain entry into the bank, blasting through a wall that was shared with a Catholic church. A police report seems that, with the help of a team of locksmiths, the group cracked the vault, stole the entire content. None of the money or gold has been recovered. No one has ever been charged for the crime. So they're in the wind. They're gone. Following this, we have the Spanish looting of the Incas, 1516 to 1650. 181 tons of gold. So in 1516, Spain conquered Peru and completely destroyed and ransacked the ancient Incan civilization. Gold bars, ingots, silver jewelry, and gold coins were transported by ships across the sea to Spain, and it is said that over 181 tons of gold and 16,000 tons of silver were looted from the New World. In today's money, that's about $8.5 billion in gold. So when you think of countries stealing from other countries, this is $1 trillion national budgets. This may not sound like a lot in the current world climate with $1 trillion national budgets. Nevertheless, during the period of 1516 to 1650, prices across Europe rose by unmanageable 500% due greatly to imports of gold and silver bullion to Spain. So that's a pretty big price increase at the time. Number 19 is Nazi Germany gold plunder, 1939-1945. So they stole about just over 1,000 tons of gold. That's a lot of gold. So Nazi Germany's gold plunder is a stolen gold, or what? However you say this in German, I'm not even attempting that. That was plundered throughout World War II to help Nazi Germany finance their war efforts. It is believed that Hitler executed a policy of looting the assets of countries, companies, and private citizens by collecting looted assets in central depositories and transferring the gold bullion to overseas banks. 550 million in gold was looted from foreign governments alone, including 223 million from Belgium and 193 million from the Netherlands. These figures don't include the hoards of gold instruments, gold jewelry, and even gold teeth that were plucked from victims and prisoners of Nazi concentration camps. I cannot talk. But I'm like, who wants gold teeth? Nobody in their right mind wants to collect gold teeth. So, last but not least, number 20, this is the Japanese invasion of China in 1937. 6,600 tons of gold. So Prince Chichibu, of Japan, the younger brother of Emperor Hirohito, was assigned by the emperor as the head of a top-secret operation called Golden Lily, a highly secretive group tasked with looting China for all its wealth, including cash, gems, China's gold coins, precious metals, and gold bullion. Starting in 1937, the rape of Nanking, I don't like saying that, and the task force carried out its duty with full force. The gold bullion hoard was much larger than expected, and the Japanese looted Nanking for over 6,000 metric tons of gold bullion, a bounty of silver, and an unimaginable amount of precious gemstones, making the Japanese invasion of China one of the biggest gold heists ever recorded. That's number 20, so that's the end of this one. The trivia answer this week, guys, was that question was, what was the largest robbery from the previous episode? And that was the Philadelphia Mint Gold Bar robbery 183 kilograms of gold. So, that's it. Guys, I want to remind you again, this is about, I think, the fifth time I've said it today. So it seems like it's pretty fresh in my mind, but it's been a couple weeks for you guys. But I want to introduce the In the Mail segment. It's going to be about cool and interesting things that I get via U.S. Postal Service, mail, physical mail, things like that, or email. It could be questions you guys have about the hobby, or physical mail. It could be a letter that you wanted to send, or a coin that you thought was you guys sent me, or something I ordered in the mail that I'm opening here or talking about on here. And this is probably going to be the last episode I mention it. I might bring it back in another couple. I don't know. That's kind of that segment. And I also mentioned this a couple times, looking for a partner, possibly for the podcast. If you guys think I should get a partner, let me know. If you don't think I should get a partner, and you just like hearing my annoying voice for 20 minutes every so often, tell me. Thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Got any questions, comments, critiques, something like that, or you want to be part of the In the Mail segment, email me at therightcoinpodcast@gmail.com, and I will see you guys on the next one.